now proudly presented on SNME. That's Sunday Night's Main Event. Patreon and free feed.
Yo. We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore, fine. Winter ready on the four ties. Heavy traffic during 4-5. Gotta hustle on the own time. Color people every port side. We just people from the north side. Once the Timmy's hit the shore, fine.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your host, your boy George McKay, live here, Destiny World Wrestling. And I'm sitting down with the one, the only, returning for the third time, the Golden Gun, Mr. One Shot, One Kill himself, Mark Wheeler.
That's me. Thank you. That's a good introduction. I appreciate that.
My introduction skills have leveled up from the first time that we talked. First time I was like, I'm sitting online with Mark Wheeler. Like my voice was, I was all nervous and shit to like talk to indie wrestlers. Now I'm like,
it's easy now.
Now I'm like the fatter Chris Van Vliet. Yeah. I'm going to make jokes myself so that the people on the internet can't hate.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do
get
it.
First.
You got to get away with
it.
Actually, I have lost some weight.
Good for you. Awesome.
I have quit smoking. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I've quit smoking. Amazing. It's been 6 weeks. I don't have the physique of a Mark Wheeler. But
fuck it.
All that extra effort. Forget it. I want to talk about injuries.
Yep.
Setbacks. Mm-hmm. And returning to the ring now. Mm-hmm. You were cleared for the ring, I believe, tail end of January, early February?
Yeah. Like, end of January, February, first week, I came back to wrestling. February 4th, Alpha 1, my first match back. I was petrified that I was going to get hurt again because, obviously, back of your head, you're like, God, yeah. Surgery sucked. Recovery sucked. But I was told a year and a half, I came back in 8 months. So I'm pretty happy with that. And so far, I've had, like, 7 matches since, and I've had no problems. So.
Everything feels good. Everything feels like it should.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was, like, I got a pretty good vertical, and I was scared that I was gone, and it's not. So that's all I got, really. So I'm keeping that, so I'm okay. I'm happy, yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. So, I mean, the hardest part, and I've talked to so many wrestlers around the world about this when they have injuries, Josh Alexander being one of them, and he talked about the mental game being the absolute toughest because, as we know, a mind is a beautiful thing, but a mind can be a dangerous son of a bitch if you let it. And depression, anxiety, all these things are real. And when you've got nothing to do but time, it makes it even more dangerous. So how did you, if there were any mental kind of blockage, how did you overcome that? Or how did you stay focused? How did you stay the course?
With injuries, they take a toll on your, I think, mental more than actually physically, which is kind of in a weird way, right? Because it is a physical injury, but, like, you're off the shelf for X amount of months. So you're seeing your friends and everyone you know wrestling, being busy. And you're sitting there at home on your couch or your bed being like, well, okay. And I think for me, the biggest thing was hearing a year and a half off was like, man, a year and a half, that's a long time to be not be wrestling. And this is what I do, like, 10 years now. It's my passion, right? So it's the one thing sport I've ever been good at, right? And I've tried a lot of sports, and it's the one that I've, like, excelled in, right? So to have that taken from you and, like, you can't travel and you can't see your friends and you can't even drive a car and you can't even walk, right? It's very demoralizing. But I will say the biggest thing that kept me going was just the motivation of coming back and showing them, like, okay, year and a half, I'll show you a year and a half, right? I'm very stubborn, right? I'm Serbian, so I'm very stubborn.
No, Mark Wheeler's stubborn. No.
No, no.
No.
I'm pretty, from watching me, you can tell I'm kind of a hard ass, kind of stubborn, but that stubbornness kind of helped me progress. Like, same thing, 2019, I broke my arm. I got this giant scar, my arm. I got a big plate in there, right? And, like, I was told a year, and it came back in, like, 5-6 months, right? So, I mean, I'll take it. I can't, no wood here, but knock on wood, I'm good. But it's one of those things where, like, you got to stay positive because wrestling's already such a hard thing to do. Like, physically, mentally, it's taxing your time. Like, your body's hurt. So you have to go into it thinking, like, okay, this thing I want to do, I'm very passionate about it. So it already hurts. So if I can get through the pain of physio and the pain of recovery, you can do anything, right? And wrestling, and my body at this point, 10 years in, is just calloused up. So I'm very good with pain. So thankfully, that's been my way to kind of, you know, get back.
And I like that. I like that line that you use, which calloused up, because that reminds me of one of my, I don't know, are you big on Canadian hip hop?
I mean, I like all music, so yeah.
Okay, so the Rascals, you know the Rascals, yeah, right? There's there's a song that they do called One Shot. And yes, my favorite verse is the last guy, where he goes, in the dungeon, where the dues are paid, before we ever get the chance to rhyme on stage, we learn the tools of the trade. Get callous,
sweet, yeah.
Get strong. And it's like, it's just the way he says it. And he talks about, you know, like, listen, we're here now, we're up. And I mean, to be up in Canadian hip hop is a very hard thing to do, because Canadian hip hop, it has a nice niche, but other than certain artists like the Rascals, like Northern Touch, like Cardinal Official, Canadian hip hop is pretty much predominantly non-existent. And then of course you look at Drake, but Drake is international, and Drake's not a rapper. Drake's a fucking singer. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Damn. I have my mic drop. I have my shit on Drake. That's fine, I have my shit. Okay, it is my opinion, and that's okay. That's cool. Everyone's like assholes. We all have them.
Yeah,
opinions.
Of course, yeah.
So you know what? But I mean, you yourself have had mental toughness tested for the better part of the last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to get into any specifics of anything. We'll keep that all off the shelf. But you've definitely been mentally tested. Oh, yeah. And knowing that wrestling and drama, unfortunately, goes hand in hand, sometimes it bleeds into your personal life. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, of course.
But how do you overcome that? And how do you stay? How do you stay in love with pro wrestling? Can I ask that, considering that a lot of the personal involved a lot of people in the wrestling business, people that you trusted, people that were in your inner circle,
yeah,
and now they're no longer in your inner circle because of the distrust. How do you still love pro wrestling after having that mental test?
It's passion, man. That's like, I've been like wrestling, like, since I was like probably 3 years old. I had this like 5 foot Batman that I wrestle on cement floors for, like, I'd write out full cards. I'd make an entranceway. I did backyard wrestling. I've been wrestling in a sense, right? I've been pro wrestling 10 years, so like my whole life I've been in wrestling. So to like just drop everything because of something that happens to you after all that time, I think it's pointless, because like the passion's still there no matter what, right? Like I'll wrestle as long as I can physically, and then when I'm done, I'll open a school and train, right? Like I want to keep this going as long as I can. So personal stuff sucks, it happens, but that's life also. Life, can I swear, sorry? I forget.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, life's a bitch sometimes, right? And you have to like just kind of find your way through it, but the passion, and I have such good friends in wrestling. Like, my close friends in wrestling are very close, like brothers and sisters, right? So, like, to just, like, take what I went through or whatever anyone goes through and just, like, to walk away from this, I think is silly, because if you have to, you have to. I get that. But, like, man, I've worked too fucking hard in this business, and I've traveled too much to just, like, be like, well, this happened, peace, right? So I look at it as just keep grinding, because I know what my worth in wrestling is, and I know, you know, on the Ontario scene, I'm one of the guys that gets looked up to as a guy who's, like, you know, doing well, and that's, I appreciate that, and I don't think that, but that's, we're always our worst critics, right? So, but when I was off the shelf and everything that was going on in my life, everyone was, like, just reassuring, like, Mark, you're good, like, you're gonna be good, like, you're, one day, hopefully, you get signed, and whatever it is, right? So, I've had constant positive feedback the past 2 or 3 years with my friends, so I think that's the main thing, and the drive of the passion in wrestling has kept me, like, just on the ball, right? So
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And you mentioned your heritage, you mentioned your background, which you're very proud of. Yep. But yet you rep the bad guy in the James Bond franchises all the time. What is it? I mean, I think I've asked this question before, but it's been a while since we sat down.
Yeah.
What is it about James Bond that you love? Is it the fact that he's suave, sexy, cool, gets the women even when he doesn't want the women? Like, you look at Casino Royale.
Yeah.
He didn't want her. But he eventually gave in to the, because at the end of the day, he's a guy.
Yeah, of course.
And when a beautiful woman like that is throwing herself at you, you'd be stupid to not jump on it.
Of course.
But he didn't really want it.
Yeah.
At least in Casino Royale, he didn't want
that one, yeah.
Yeah, that one. But every other one, he's definitely wanted it. But what is it about James Bond that connects you? What connects you? Because, I mean, you're talking about wrestling since you were three. The James Bond franchise has been around longer than you and I in our combined age.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So what is it about this character that you connect with?
It's kind of a deep question, but it's a good one.
But I ask the tough questions, Mark.
I appreciate that. It's good. So, I mean, since I was a kid, I'll try to make this not so long story. When I was a kid, I watched, I played Golden Gun 64, GoldenEye 64, and I just fell in love with it, and then I watched the movies, and the character itself, like, he's so mysterious, but not mysterious in a weird way. Like, he's suave and all this, but, like, you know who he is, but, like, he's also a special agent, and, like, so much, there's layers to the character, right? There's a lot of layers to James Bond, right? Like, a lot of layers. And when I look at what I look at Mark Wheeler is a lot of layers, right? So by layers, I mean, yes, when I wrestle, I'm an asshole 9 times out of 10. But sometimes I show a heart when I wrestle. Which, yes, James Bond is a good guy, but if he wanted to be a bad guy, very easy for him to do it.
It actually is.
Right?
He does walk that line.
Right? So I feel like typically when I wrestle, or even how I am, I'm always trying to walk the same kind of idea of a line, right? So you most times you're going to get the same kind of Mark Wheeler, which you would get James Bond, right? But you never know how Mark Wheeler is going to, you know, either change his style or change something. But I like keeping, I guess, on a swivel, right? Which, again, he's mysterious. He has, like, 19 movies, but who really is James Bond?
Special agent that gets the women and gets the bad guys.
And look.
But to get a license to kill, you have to kill three people.
Right? And I've been told that more so my super kick is like a gunshot. Right?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, which I think is cool.
I've called the Mark Wheeler match or two in my commentary career. And yeah, no, it's brutal.
Right? I mean, and one of those things too where like I don't try to look too deep in the James Bond thing. Also, the nickname Golden Gun is just cool also. It doesn't hurt, right? So I could break this down more, but if I, to be honest, like, aside from it being a cool name, I just always loved the franchise, and like, that game made me become a gamer as a kid. Like, I played that game, I don't know how, to this day, I still play that game once in a while with friends. So, like, it's one of those things that, like, has been a big part of my life, and I need to find some kind of persona or something. I was just Mark Wheeler for a long time, like 5 years. The Golden Gun thing stuck, and I had the leather and the jack and all that. It just clicked for me, and I've been running with it ever since. And no one's ever questioned it. No one's ever been like, oh, don't do that Golden Gun thing, or why are you doing that? So I look at it as, like, in a weird way, like an anti-James Bond. Hmm.
The anti-James Bond.
Right. Hmm. It's kind of like a play on how he
it's is. Like Venom is to Spider-Man.
Ah, right. Like, you don't you look at Mark Wheeler, you don't think good guy, but he could be.
But I will tell you this, Mark. I will tell you this one thing. Good guy or bad guy, the ladies seem to swoon over Mark Wheeler. Even my wife, we've been happily together for 22 years. Okay, I'm going to air this shit out. We've been happily together for 22 years. And you know what? She comes to me with wrestling shows sometimes, and she'll look at me and she'll go, babe, Mark Wheeler's a cutie. And I'll just be like, and what the fuck am I? She'll be like, I love you. You're my husband. But Mark Wheeler's a cutie. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It could be the dimples. It could be the smile. It could be just the whole persona that is Mark Wheeler. Are you
right
blushing
now.
A little
I'm sweating
bit?
Right now. Yeah.
Mrs. Host thinks Mark Wheeler is a cutie patootie. There you go. Now, there you go, babe. I've aired out my shit.
Called you out.
That's right. That's how marriages work. You got
to
air your
you
shit
have
out
to.
In public.
It's healthy, right?
Absolutely is.
Solid.
So you're coming back.
Yep.
Tonight, you're at Destiny. You're making your return to Destiny. And when you made your debut at Destiny, under rather hostile circumstances, you came in and attacked arguably the most undefeated man in Destiny Wrestling history, a man who has pretty much never lost, and he's never lost in his return to Destiny Wrestling, Tarik. Yeah. And I believe tonight, due to match changes or card changes, we're going to finally get to see you two stare across from each other. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you two have faced each other in quite a bit of time. I think there may have been times where you had, definitely over at Superkicked, but now here at Destiny, this is the first time for the Destiny faithful.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, Mr. Punch Kick Chop versus Mr. One Shot? Jesus fucking Christ, dude. You can't write shit like this. And how? So I got to ask you this. I mean, Tarik has to prepare for you now, but you also now have to prepare for Tarik. You were in a scramble, now you're not.
Yes.
You have to prepare. How do you prepare for the man that actually you started the beef with because you attacked him?
So to add more layers to this, speaking of layers, my last match I got hurt was against Tarik. Not his fault, but it was with Tarik in a ring. So there's more to the story than just I jumped the guy. There's more to that. There's another vendetta of my last match 8 months off was with him. I jumped him, sure, and that happened to me, so I think we're kind of even right now. So if anything tonight, I think it'll be, I don't want to say a fair contest, but I'll say this. Tarik is the kind of guy who will punch the shit out of you, kick the shit out of you, chop the shit out of you. I got a very high pain tolerance. Tarik has punched and kicked me I don't know how many times in my life, and I'm still here. I've also kicked his face in how many times. So I think we're both, going back to what I was saying earlier, two really stubborn dudes who just want something to prove. So I think I'm going to say I'm going to win, obviously. But at the end of the day, I know Tarek's knees hurts right now. So I got a target. And being one shot, one kill, I look for targets. Clearly it's wrapped up. So
I like how he also looked for targets, but he also made the sign of the cross. Like, dude, you better have all your stuff kind of tied up in a nice little neat bow.
You have to.
All right. I guess my final question before I let you go prepare for the night ahead of you is, You're in your 30s now. I'm in my 40s. We met each other going on 6 years ago. You're one of the early guests of Straight Talk Wrestling. And time does fly. And I have seen the progression of a Mark Wheeler. I have seen what Mark Wheeler can do. I've seen that Mark Wheeler, in my opinion, is TV ready. Thank you. And I know that you had some stuff on ROH. I know you did some stuff at AEW when it was here in Toronto. Great experience all around.
Of course.
But if Mark Wheeler had his pick of the litter, had an option to go somewhere where Mark Wheeler could really develop and grow this persona that you put so much time into, where do you think would be the right fit? I would tell you, I'll tell you where I want to, where I think you'll be a great fit, but you let me know if you want to go first. If you don't, you want to think about it for a little bit, I'll tell you where I think you would excel.
Okay, well, I'll say this. I mean, as a Canadian wrestler, our biggest thing is getting a visa, right?
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. So my honest answer is anyone that will give me a shot to get that exposure, right? But in my heart, I've always been a fan of WWE my entire life. I grew up on that. To be on like a SmackDown or a Raw or NXT would be, I think, freaking insane. Granted, AEW is also an awesome company. Gives guys a lot of work. They pay very well. So like, it's all there. I just think with my roots, where I grew up with, and what I watched growing up for 30 years now, I think in my heart it'd be the Fed. Yeah, the Fed. Old school, yeah, see?
The old school Fed. I think, personally myself, just because they are Canada's company, in my honest opinion, would be TNA.
I mean, listen, TNA, I think, is phenomenal. I have worked briefly here and there with Impact / TNA, right, over the years. Obviously wouldn't be opposed to it at all. Like in a heartbeat, if they were to call me, I'd be like, yep, see you there, right?
Speedball Mike Bailey versus Mark Wheeler. Mustafa Ali versus Mark Wheeler. Chris Sabin versus Mark Wheeler. Come on, dude, it writes itself.
Their roster is insane. Like, I think they have the most tight-knit roster right now in pro wrestling, like of all pro wrestling, right? Like, it's solid. There's no one there who, like, doesn't fit, like, the bill of TNA, right? And granted, the TNA again, and again, I grew up watching TNA as much as the Fed, right? So if they were to call me today in a heartbeat, I'd be like, yep, I'll be here tomorrow, right? I'll be here today. So at the end of the day, I'll take 10 years in, you take what you can get. But again, it'd be probably the Fed. I mean, probably Impact second, or TNA, sorry, and then AW, because that's a newer thing that I've still kind of watching, right? So
I like it. All great answers. And he put him in his, I mean, everybody dreams of the Fed. Listen, I dream of calling one match at the Fed.
Of course, yes.
I mean, if I had JR sitting next to me, somebody asked me that today. He goes, if you could call a match with anybody, JR. I didn't even have to finish the question. Who would you call? JR. 100%. To hear, to look over at JR and see, oh, he's going to stomp a mud hole and walk it dry. I'd just be like, oh my God.
So cool.
This is the greatest fucking, and I never would wear a Stetson, but that day, I'd wear a fucking Stetson. You better fucking believe that shit.
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's the greatest way to end this conversation is picturing me in a Stetson.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Great.
Country Mark Wheeler? One shot, one kill? Country Mark Wheeler?
Country, I don't know. I don't fit that bill, I think. If I can try it one day.
What if we came out as Stetsons? Like, what if I was your Dutch Mandel?
It's not a bad idea, actually.
It isn't a bad idea. I mean, I don't think I could grow the mustache, but
we'll try.
But we could try.
I can't either. It's okay. I can't grow. This is
whatever. You're looking like Wolverine these fucking days.
I'll take that.
Dude, I shaved 3 days ago. Look at it. It's like 5 o'clock shadow, okay? It's fucking horrible. All right, guys, that's it for this one. Peace, love, and wrestling. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for watching. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and turn on that notification bell so you get notified each time we post a video. Alternatively, you can check us out on all podcast platforms and host it on Podbean. We are also available on the SNME Network. That's the Sunday Nights Main Event Patreon. Please feel free to check us out there as well. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at @_StraightTalk on Twitter, at Straight Talk Wrestling on Instagram, Straight Talk Wrestling on Facebook, Straight Talk Wrestling on TikTok, and of course, you can check out all our merch at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I don't need a nigga cosign. Without the liquor, you become a victim. You ain't never got a pole mine. I ain't messing with this generation. Fuck your gender, I ain't got...